Hail and frequencies open, and welcome to Star Trek Discoverage, the live podcast that boldly goes into excruciating detail about this week's episode of Star Trek Prodigy. I'm your host, Aaron Coker, a.k.a. Caliban, and never give up, never surrender. Joining me on the show, as usual, is my co-host. She's also the co-host of the Generations Geek podcast, a more or less family-friendly celebration of geekdom. It's Ella Pearson. Ella, welcome back to Discoverage.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here tonight. How have you been?
Pretty good. A little bit of a COVID scare, beginning of the week.
Uh-oh.
Home free.
Uh-oh, okay.
We're good.
Good.
And because this has been in the past, Rings of Power podcast.
Yes.
I will say
yes.
That I'm driving to Chicago next week on Thursday, unfortunately, for the Måneskin concert. And I convinced my roommate we're going to stop overnight in Milwaukee because we're going to drive after work on Wednesday. So we're stopping. And there's a big Tolkien exhibition right now in Milwaukee. So I'm going to get to go. I'm very excited.
Is it like a museum thing?
Yeah, it's like, so a lot of it is stuff that I've seen before, because when I studied abroad in England, I went to Oxford to see the Bodleian Library's Tolkien like manuscript exhibition.
Yeah.
And so some of it is stuff that they've sent over from there. But I read that like 140 some pieces that they have on display is stuff that's never been displayed to the public before.
Wow.
So I can't wait. I'm going to be there by myself. Obviously, my friend who's going to the concert with me doesn't care about Tolkien at all. So I'm going to just be in there crying 10 a.m. on a Thursday.
What are friends for, though, really?
Exactly.
That's
and I
what
was
it's all
like,
about.
Do you think we could stop maybe in Milwaukee and then I can go to the thing that I never thought I would be able to go to? And she was like, yeah, of course.
What about second breakfast? Yeah.
What if we got second breakfast after I cry at the Tolkien exhibition in
yeah,
Milwaukee?
Yeah. I never got the, this is a while ago, but I never got the Hobbit food when they were doing that at Denny's. But if any of it...
Oh, I never went either.
Yeah, but if any of it was any good, you think that they could just, like, why not just keep that going, you know? Or, like, what if...
Was it not just the normal Denny's food? Was there anything exclusive
for
the Hobbit collection at Denny's?
It was probably just a sort of remixing of, you know, ingredients that they had. Yeah, I don't think they had any...
No proper English fry-up?
Yeah, possibly, as best as you can do here on this side of the pond.
I mean, you can buy those blue cans of Heinz beans.
That's true, yeah.
And I do when I feel like living a little on the edge.
Yeah. A little fried tomato.
I get the canned British beans, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Because I'd never had tomato-y beans like that until I went to England. Beans were just brown sugar, you know, it's the Boston baked variety.
A vegetarian's dream.
Yeah, right.
Tomato-y beans on toast.
No Lembas, though. They don't care. That's seasonal, so they don't have that. Well, let's bring our guest in. Returning to the show tonight is my co-host on the Just Enough Trope podcast. She's also the host of the Sailor Noob podcast, and she's a frequent guest on Enterprising Individuals and Discoverage. It's Mikan Hanna. Mika, welcome back to Discoverage.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. It's good to see that you do exist in the real world and not just in a world of collective bargaining.
Oh, thank you. I mean, sometimes I feel like I just exist in a world of collective bargaining because, little known fact, I am pretty active in my union. So.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited because we just reached a tentative agreement. So,
great.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
All right. How many legs did we have to adjust to... Get
a
that
lot.
Done. A lot? Okay, all right.
Say no more. Like, there were many hours. So I was not part of the bargaining team.
Yeah.
But they spent many long hours negotiating.
Yeah.
And, like, there was one night, I think it was last week, they were there till midnight. Yeah. Like, I don't know how that's even legal, but.
And these are all closed. The sad thing is, it's all closed doors, right? So we'll never.
Oh yeah.
We'll never really know.
Stream on Twitch.
Yeah. Well, they should, right? Like, we'll never really know what it looks like, because when they go, like, I can imagine this is hard work. But when they're like, oh, we went till 12. What are you just like staring at each other across the table until 12? How much fist pounding can you do, you know, for 12 hours? Yeah.
Well, and they were,
or you just rotate a man an hour. That's how you do it. Yeah.
Well, and I was talking to somebody.
Or a woman.
Right. I was talking to somebody who's on the bargaining team And I guess they were supposed to end at 8. Like, they were scheduled to end at 8.
Okay.
And they, it was just dragging on.
Call Domino's. Forget this. We're staying right here.
That's just it. They didn't get food.
Yeah.
They didn't have dinner.
Oh, there was no food. Oh, okay.
No.
Well.
They didn't break for dinner?
Anyways.
They're doing the work.
I still can't hear Ella. I don't know what's going
on. Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
You're not missing anything.
Stop it.
Let me see if I can...
She hears me every week. She's in the chat. She hears me every week.
She should be able to hear you.
That's weird.
Yeah, and I know that I'm pretty sure that you're going out to the stream, so...
Probably. Slay. Well, I know you can hear her.
Yeah, so. I can hear.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to... I'd hate to wrap up the stream or end it. Maybe we could do that and try to make it work. Do you think it's anything on your side?
I don't know. Now your video is frozen.
Ella, so. Oh, maybe you got a bad connection. Ella, say something real fast.
Hello.
Yep. You're coming out.
Your video's not frozen for me, so maybe it is the connection. I don't know why that would be, though.
I don't know.
Do you want to reboot?
Do you want me to just leave the stream and come back?
Leave forever. No. You could. Well, you couldn't hear her then either, I guess.
No.
I'm sure it's probably something on my side that I've messed up here. But Ella, tell us more about what you expect to see at the Tolkien exhibit.
Oh, sure. Well, when I was at again when I was in England, I just got the bob last week. I hate it, but you have to use it, you know?
Yeah.
So we went to Oxford to the Bodleian Libraries, and they had this exhibition. I don't know if it's still on, but it was on when I was in England, which was 2018 to 2019. And they had, like, you know, when he was writing Lord of the Rings, there was like a paper shortage because it was like the war and stuff and the Hobbit. And when he was writing the Hobbit.
Yeah.
And so he would write things like on these scraps of paper and in the margins of, like, while he was grading students' papers.
Oh, really? So they're keeping all that stuff.
And do drawings. Yeah. And so it's like a lot of it are these like scraps of things that somebody happened to save, like that he, you know, either mailed home to his son from the front or like just somebody happened to keep. And it's so like amazing to see the things. It's like, you know, there's this author in your life that has touched your life in so many ways. And then to see the things that he sort of touched feels very crazy. Or to see these early drawings that you then recognize from like official illustrations is insane.
Yeah.
Something else fun that I could also talk about while we're, I could talk forever.
I felt the same
during
way.
Technical difficulties.
I mm-hmm. felt the same way when I went to the Downton Abbey exhibit. Just seeing all those the little bells and the contraceptives that Mary, you know, had her nurse go and get her. Just really something else.
Quite the same.
How you doing?
You know, this weekend.
How you doing, Mika?
I'm doing okay. I still can't hear Ella, and you're both frozen.
All right. Do you want to just ruin the facade of this and just come in the studio?
I could do that.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
We're gonna shut Mika down.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Ella. Bye. Go ahead.
Shut Mika down. What was I gonna say? Oh, I'm gonna go to Twin Cities Con this weekend on Saturday.
Yeah.
Anyone else is gonna be there? To meet Elijah Wood and Sean Astin, although I will say that the autograph's a bit more spendy than I thought they would be. I do think I will get them. I'm very excited to see them. Our besties, Danny J and Joel from Keep on Tolkien will be there. So I'm very excited to see them. I think I'm going to have them sign the insert of my extended edition DVD because I couldn't decide what to have them sign. And I was like, maybe I'll have them sign the DVD.
The Tolkien guys?
Elijah and Sean.
Yeah, have them sign it.
Yeah, and then my roommate was like, have them sign the book. And I was like, are you crazy? The book, the actors? Have them sign the book, my book? My copy of the book?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, but the Fellowship Extended Edition has this cute little insert that just has like the fellowship, you know, whatever, and has a little bit of art, and then a lot of it is like negative space. So I'm like, if I have Elijah and Sean sign it, then I can have it forever, but also like in the future, if I meet more actors from Lord of the Rings, I can have them sign it.
Yeah.
Because something I wish, I'm just going to keep talking over the technical stuff until you tell me to stop, by the
okay.
way.
No, I want to hear, no, we're, I'm locked into this.
It's
I want to hear
specialty.
This.
Okay, good, good, good. Something I wish that had been drilled into me when I was like younger and starting to go to conventions like all the time is like to have actors and people sign things and not just like a glossy 8x10 photo of themselves.
Yeah.
So like one of the years that I was like a big Supernatural girly and I went to the conventions for that, I had like every single actor sign a replica of the license plate of the car from the show. And so now I have that and I still like hang it on my wall every time I move because it's like a huge thing. It's like it's memorabilia. But so many of my autographs are like just that, like just autographs on a glossy 8x10.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if I'm going to meet Elijah and Sean, I'm going to have them sign the insert. I'm going to frame it. And then if I meet, because I've met, I don't remember his name. I've met Denethor and I met John Rhys Davies.
Yeah.
And just had them sign, you know, the 8x10s. But I'm going to have Elijah and Sean sign the insert. And then even if I never get another Lord of the Rings autograph again, I have Frodo and Sam on the insert, frame it, slap it on the wall, done.
That's awesome.
I would want them to, like, you know,
I love it.
Have somebody start at the upper left-hand corner, have somebody sign it, and then the next person has to, like, say something about the person above them, you know? Like, just...
It is funny. I will say
good, bad,
my
whatever
Supernatural
they want to say.
License plate must have, like, pushing 20 autographs on it. And it is funny to see, like, who deigned to, like, let their autograph edge over someone else's autograph.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Yeah, it's very funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it would be funny. But yeah, so I feel like even if I just have Elijah and Sean on it, it's a set. It's a pair. They're ready to go.
Well, good luck with that and travel safe and let us know how it was when you came back.
Well, this is a Lord of the Rings podcast, so I will.
Yeah, exactly. You have to. The road goes ever on and on. And so do I, because I'm about to talk about how we've talked about or just seen the 13th episode of the first season of Star Trek Prodigy. It's an episode called All the World's a Stage, and we're here to talk all about it. But first, as always, a warning, we're setting a course for the spoiler zone listeners. So be warned, we're glad that you've decided to join us. But if you haven't seen the episode, spoilers are incoming. The official synopsis for All the World's a Stage is the crew answers a distress call to find a colony trapped in Starfleet's past. This episode was written by Aaron J. Waltke, who was the head producer, showrunner of Star Trek Prodigy. It was directed by Andrew L. Schmidt, and the star date is 61296. Did I get that right? 296.9. Here are some facts about the episode. Obviously, the title is an allusion from Shakespeare. It is one of, by my count, 20 such titles now in the Star Trek universe. Baby makes 20. 19 quotes from plays and one from the poem Venus and Adonis. And I have to say, like, 40% of those are from Discovery. They really went nuts on Discovery with Star Trek titles. That's cool. The character of Ensign Garavik last appeared 55 years ago in the original series episode Obsession, and the shuttlecraft Galileo appeared in the episode for the last time in the Immunity Syndrome. That's the Galileo 1. Later, the Galileo 2 would appear in another episode. But technically, this is like the Galileo 1.5. Because in the episode of the Galileo 7, as you all remember, that shuttle burns up in the atmosphere of that planet, right? That's the whole point. They got to get the crew off the shuttle. So
yeah.
They just went, we won't talk about this. It'll upset Spock too much. Just paint Galileo on a new shuttle. We're okay. The Star Trek Voyager episode Muse also features a civilization performing a play based on their knowledge of Starfleet when B'Elanna Torres crashes in the Delta Flyer on their planet. So a little similar to this. And I thought that, like, as a sort of tribute to TOS, there was, like, a lot of, like, TOS and other Star Trek kind of elements in this. A little bit of Thine Own Self from TNG when Data accidentally poisons an entire planet. I don't remember, anybody remembers that one?
I actually don't.
He gets blown up and he walks into, like, a Renfest and he's got a suitcase that says, like, oh, what is your bag, sir? And it says radioactive on it.
Oh, my gosh.
So then everybody gets sick and dies. And the little Miri, people get weird sores on them, and there's something's making them sick. I thought a little Miri was in there too. Let's get right into it. What do you guys think about All the World's a Stage? Ella.
I really liked it. I thought it was super fun. I thought that I wish they would have like scrapped the like Janeway scene at the beginning, because I was like, I would have loved for this to be like just
Yeah.
a one-off episode of Prodigy. I didn't think it needed the like tie in at the beginning,
Yeah.
because the rest of it I thought was amazing and like so sweet and cute. And I
Yeah.
watched I love to come on here and talk about what my roommates said,
Yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's so cute because they're not like Trekkies at all. And one of my roommates happened to be sitting with me, like watching the entire episode with me. And she was like, that was perfect. That was such a sweet episode of a Nickelodeon show. Like they did it. That was
Yeah.
fantastic. And I was like, I thought so too. So that's where it landed by the end.
Mika, what'd you think?
Yeah, I really liked it. Like at first I wasn't sure if like I know they were doing a thing and they were like the aliens were like really trying to emulate being part of Starfleet and everything, and it's but at first I was like, okay, I don't know how I feel about everybody like doing voices from like TOS and everything, but it's by the end of it I was totally fine with it, and it was you know, I think it was really sweet, and I like that the monster like ended up being the ship. I thought that was really cool. And it really was making them sick. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny. But so I don't know. I thought it was really interesting, and I think it was really sweet that our crew, you know, they actually did help, you know, and Dahl, like he does. He kind of he can be positive, but he kind of tends to, when the things get a little tough, he starts to kind of doubt himself.
Well, it's kind of another situation where, and I don't know if they're doing this on purpose, but like it's Gwen kind of takes the lead,
Yeah.
and it's kind of out there. Maybe she's like the intrepid, like number one, like Riker. But I feel like a lot of times the command, that the pressures of command, themes fall to Dahl, and the
Yes.
actually kind of sticking your face out there and getting it done kind of falls to Gwen, and they kind of cover, you know, both sides of it with those two characters.
No, I think that's definitely true. And I mean, she even has the line, right? Like, I'm not scared of anything, or you know, something along
I'm not
those
scared of
lines.
the truth.
Yeah, I'm not scared of the truth, thank you. So, you know, she was not afraid to face whatever it was, you know? So
I love her so much. If I was a kid, I would have wanted to be her so bad.
Totally.
It's a lot of makeup, but yeah, you could probably do it.
Okay, you know.
You could probably do it.
Make up some braids.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's a
braids.
lot, but yes.
I want to talk about I want to talk about why I don't like episodes like this, and then I'll talk about
Sure.
why I like this episode. If
Okay.
we hadn't
Work.
had what I what feels like a 6 month run of episodes that refer to Star Trek, the entire Lower Decks is like an entire show that just does this every week. If none of
Yeah.
that existed, and this episode existed in a vacuum, I would find this, you know, very charming. It is charming, and I still find it charming. But like, it's like, oh wow, they're on a planet where everybody's like at a big convention, and they think that they're in Star Trek. You know, once I kind of got over that, I really liked it. Also, when I got over, it's like, oh, it's Galaxy Quest. You guys are doing Galaxy Quest. That's fine. That's cool.
Awesome.
All
Whatever.
right, you know what? Star Trek hasn't done
Whatever, that's
Galaxy
fine.
Quest yet, right? So we'll
Yeah.
just take that. That's fine. You know, adding to the kind of meta aspect of it, I thought it was interesting, and you get this a lot on shows where you don't want to hire like new actors, but like a lot of the main cast played the Enterprisians.
Yes.
So like the guy, I can't remember his name right now, but the guy that does Murph played James T. And clearly they were like, "Do you got a Shatner?" He's like,
Yes.
"Yes, I've got a Shatner. Let's do
That
this."
is so funny. I feel like I never notice when shows do that. Like one of my favorite shows is a sitcom called Ghost from the BBC, and I watched it like 2 times, and then my third time watching it, I watched it like with my family over Christmas. And it's like there's a set of ghosts upstairs and a set of ghosts downstairs, and my dad was like, "Hey, the downstairs ghosts are all the actors from upstairs." And I was like, "Oh my God." Like that's so funny that they all the voice actors. That's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, most voice actors, you know, have a thing, right? Like their thing is being able to do a lot of voices. unless they're celebrity voice actors, and then they're just like,
I'm Chris
this
Pratt.
Is why you hired me.
Exactly,
I'm Chris Pratt.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's a go. Yeah, yeah. You mentioned the first scene, and you know, I agree with you. I also think that it's just a symptom of how these shows are going to work now. I think the price that we pay to get an episode that is a lot like this, that's really that standalone, is here's a little bit of the mythology kind of going forward. You know, we learned some kind of interesting things. Apparently, Commander, I don't remember, Lieutenant Frex is out there somewhere still. He was in the pod, but now he's not in the pod anymore. So we don't know where that guy is. And the Diviner seems to have his memory totally scrambled too. So unless he's just playing like he's scrambled, but we'll see what happens with that. It was just a really neat episode. Like, you know, like we said, Trek has already done this, the idea of like doing this play, but the way that they, I think you could have done this live action in the same way, but having animation and being able to have them have a stage and then the people are like, oh, they're bringing the bushes and bringing all the properties and the, you know, the set pieces on and they're rushing them out when the scene's over. It's like having all that like take place ironically in this very small scale for animation where you can do anything. And of course there's a huge explosion at the end, but like, I thought that that was like a really good use of sort of the trappings of the show that they've got. It's not the kind of thing that you would expect necessarily from a kid show. Like Nickelodeon makes, you know, as I'm sure you all know, like a ton of really smart shows. But I think it's great that this is like in the tradition of that really smart show for young people, for young viewers.
Well, I think Nickelodeon's smart too, because like, you know, I think they make smart shows for kids because they don't want to talk down to kids. But at the same time, they're also probably thinking of the parents who will be watching it with the kids. So I think it's a mixture of both of that. But I really appreciate that they don't talk down to the kids, but also like, you know, meeting them at their level. You know, I think it's a.
Won't somebody think about the parents? Come on.
Yeah.
How much did Garavik like? We never see his like body. I mean, we don't want to, but like, we don't know how long he's been there. Maybe he died of old age, you know? So like, how much time did he have? Because he described every aspect of a mid-season TOS
episode. Do you think that he, like, either on his deathbed of old age or whatever, was just like, and my captain, he sounded just like
right.
this.
No,
like,
not Irish, which, Scottish. So,
yeah. I can totally, not Irish, Scottish. And this is how I sound. I can totally see that. Because that would be me, and it is me. Like, just being like, and I'll tell you one more thing. You know?
Yeah.
He must have been good at doing voices, is all I can think.
He killed it. He nailed it.
Even on an alien planet where they've all got weird forehead things, you know, somebody's got to.
Everyone on the Enterprise is so easy to make a caricature of.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently.
Almost everyone, respectfully, almost everyone is so easy to be like, and he talked like this, you know what I mean? Like, what,
yes.
Was there no Chekhov?
I didn't
see a Chekhov.
No, that's a good point, because you would think that a Chekhov would be easy to
it's too tense.
Imitate as
Walter
well.
Walter Koenig is punching the air somewhere.
Oh my goodness.
Get him in for a cameo. So very fun episode, very uplifting. There's the very clear, but I think, you know, obviously smart idea of, look at these guys, look at these fake, they think they're Starfleet. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's kind of like us. That's
yeah.
like a, like
they
a
do, they did
parallel
this.
Or a foil or something.
Yes, yes. And then by the end, she like fixes it.
Yeah, she realized. She was like, yeah. Okay, slay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, live logs and prosper.
And proper.
I wonder if like they... Has Star Trek before, other than the this is a better episode than the Voyager one. The Voyager one, as a theater student, you know, the Voyager one was like, okay, I see you, theater guy, writing your script, you know, oh, there's a chorus. Oh, they're in the orchestra.
Oh.
It's like, all right. Anyway.
Oh, they're moving the props as they go off stage.
They got masks on. Yeah, it's like, this is for a very, this is for the 1%, not that kind of 1%. So I thought that this was better, but like, has there been another Star Trek episode that is essentially about like a cargo cult? Because that's essentially what these people are. They're like, just, they're trying to replicate this thing they don't understand. And I don't want to be Well, speaking of Shakespeare, I am the ghost at the feast. That's all I am. But like, it's cool that we inspired these people, but if we had not been out here in the first place, we never would have crashed an apparently extremely dangerous shuttle into their planet. Who knew that, like, I thought that like this warp travel was like, safe and clean energy, but like you can cause a mountain to explode if this thing leaks on there. So if we'd been never been out here in the first place, like we never would have affected these people.
I mean, yeah, that's a good point.
It seems like, I mean, obviously they're maybe they're going a little bit overboard, but it seems like they're doing well. I don't know. Like, I don't think every society in Star Trek should necessarily join the Federation or like copy themselves after Starfleet or like whatever, because that'd be a problem within itself. But
The way that
they
you
seem to
would
be doing
cover
great.
the way that you would cover your ass usually though is, and we saw it already in the Peanut Hamper episode, which is to it's no fault of really Starfleet or the bird people, but like there are these artifacts, these big ships like under their planet that somebody is going to come for at some point. And so the fact that Peanut Hamper, I can't believe I'm using Peanut Hamper as an example, but here we are. The fact that Peanut Hamper was there meant that like the Federation was able to come and defend them from somebody else who would didn't care at all about the Prime Directive. And so that like they didn't put that in the script, and I think that's like that's a fine choice, because normally they'd be like, oh, there's a monster that like only a Starfleet phaser can stop, and so thank God that we were here. And I don't know if it's because it's like for younger viewers, but the show doesn't like get into that. The thorny questions of the first, the first directive, the prime directive.
Yeah.
They bring it up obviously, and they go, "Yeah, normally we wouldn't do this." And then later at the end, Dahl's like, "Well, we've got, second contact. We could do that." And so I think it all is uplifting and makes sense at the end. But, we're the ones that kind of screwed it up in the first place. We being Starfleet, of course. I'm part
I
of
mean, don't
Starfleet.
you
We're
think
all
that
Starfleet.
that ensign was like, Starfleet's never gonna come here, and I'm just telling these guys stories. And then after he died, they were like, we have to become Starflight.
Right,
You know?
yeah. I want to see the box of Klingon love aphrodisiacs that he was on a run for Kirk for. Like Kirk's like, where is that guy?
Yeah.
He's
Well,
supposed to
I
be
was
back
like,
here.
oh my
And that ensign
gosh.
is running late as hell.
Well, I liked the Bones character, and was his name really Booze?
No, it's like Bonds or
Boons.
Bones.
Boons.
Yeah.
Okay. Regardless, I love that he was like actually trying to be a doctor. Like it
Yeah,
wasn't
he was
just a
actually smart.
role for him. Yeah, and he actually was like, look, I know we might come off as kind of strange and stuff like that, but we really care about this and all this stuff. And I thought that
But
was
in
really interesting.
reality,
Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
Filling the role that Bones would fill in an episode, probably. It was the guy with the outside perspective, the more practical guy.
The
Yes.
serious.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Because he's got that role where he's like, look, I mean, we don't know all this stuff. We're trying. We're trying
Now we're
to
doing our
do. We're trying to
best. We're doing
Starflight.
what
We're
we
doing our
can
best
do.
to Starflight. Anything else you can think of? Any other thoughts?
I love that the ensign's red shirt and phaser were like framed on the wall. It looked like something from like Planet Hollywood or something like
Yeah, it
that.
reminded me of Nope because I'd seen that recently.
Oh
The
yeah,
room that he's
the
got.
room that he
Yeah.
has. Yeah.
That's a little reference for people who've seen Nope. What else? Do you think that the crew, our crew, will get rid of the Protostar? Because Dal says something at the end about how maybe they could find
Wasn't that
Starfleet without
weird?
it. Yeah.
What would they do though? What would they do? You're gonna ditch the ship? Like, no, you keep that.
I don't know.
I don't think they
Even though
actually
it's a
would
little bit.
ditch it. Yeah, I
No, even
know.
though it's a little bit like, oh, it's like if you like stumbled upon like a mansion and with, and everything, and it came with like a chef and it came with a
Yes.
captain. And everybody was like, I guess this is here. I mean, no one's gonna stop you from living in there. The cops are never gonna, And you're like, I'll live here until they come back,
What if it's haunted, this mansion?
Explain what you mean by
What if
that.
Satan lives there?
Oh, are you saying the
Are you
weapon is
saying you're
Satan?
talking about the weapon?
Well, they live in a haunted house. They've got this monster in the basement.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it, for
I
sure.
guess. I mean, I would say, we all benefit from nuclear power. There's two nuclear power plants right outside the Twin Cities. What are we doing? Nothing. Chernobyl Part 2 is what could happen.
Oh, Lord.
We're living.
Nuclear power.
I was like, ghosts? I think you mean horrible nuclear fallout.
Yeah, well, like I said, we're only going to go so deep on a kid's show, I think. Nuclear power is a lot safer than it's been made to be. I've got a couple videos I can send you. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. Like, they've got a ship that... So could you... How many shuttlecraft did Voyager make from scratch in 7 years, right? If you taped all those shuttlecraft together, that's a ship, right? Like, energy is a renewable resource for them. So maybe they can find a way to, you know, to 3D print parts of another ship. Maybe they could trade the protostar for something else. The problem is that they're really worried about this. As long as this thing exists, it's a danger to the Federation.
I was going to say, also, then they'd have to leave the protostar.
They got to auger it into a sun or something like that.
Yeah, which is like a whole other, it's like, now we're committing arson. Like, that's a whole different crime. And like, oh, we were
it's
trying to
house.
Bring the ship back to
Get
you.
Get off the
like,
house.
Well, they can't just leave it out in the open or abandon it, because then somebody else could find
All right, it's nuclear waste, you're right.
And like, well,
that's a perfect example.
Somebody else comes, and whether they're nefarious or not, they go to a Federation outpost or what have you, and they kill everybody. And do they understand what happened? I mean, you know, I just, it's, like you said, it's a monster in the basement, but it's a monster that has a mind of its own, and you can't control it. So.
Just like Chernobyl. This is crazy. We've come full circle from 6 months ago when I watched Chernobyl.
That's why. Okay. I dated a girl once whose family had a cat, and
sure,
they had the cat.
I know the story.
Ever since she had lived there, you know, when she was a child, and the cat wouldn't die. It was like 18 years old, and it was, you think of like, oh, a nice cat. This was a bad cat. It hated the entire family. It wouldn't even let them get near. So it's like, fur was all matted and stuff like that. And whenever you got close, it'd be like, rah! And they'd had like, you know, it would, if you were going upstairs, they had a, you know, a basement, go down the stairs, upstairs. If it was at the top of the stairs, it would go, rah! And you had to step back, and then it would go down the stairs. And then you got to go back up the stairs. And there's nothing that, I mean, it's dead now, but like, there's nothing that they could do about it. And I'm like, why don't you just like, give it to a shelter. So they're like, well, you know, it's our cat. We can't really do anything about it.
Give the cat to us. What's it going to do with the shelter?
Yeah, I mean, nobody would adopt it.
No,
so
nobody
it's,
would adopt
it. It's our burden
you gotta
now.
You got to keep the cat. They've had the cat for 18 years.
So maybe they'll realize that the protostar is, you know, is their burden at this point. I predict that Janeway will, when Janeway's on a manhunt, she's going to finish that manhunt.
No, she's going to find them.
She's
going to
find
gosh.
These guys. And I think their first confrontation is going to end with, you know, the Dauntless being crippled because of exposure to the protostar. And the kids will be like, no, what do we do now? Like, we've totally screwed up our chance to get into Starfleet. So
real Janeway, no.
Hollow Janeway will be like, yeah, that's
right. Yeah, right.
Well, okay, screw all this. Let's talk about the real story. What's going on with Murph?
Pokemon evolution, obviously.
Is Murph,
I think so, yes. Yes.
Is Murph pupating? Is it time to sell a new toy?
Yeah, at the beginning of the episode, I was like, that's a Pokemon evolution if I ever saw one.
I honestly...
He's going down, he's coming back out a different man.
I thought the same thing. I thought, like, Murph is transforming somehow. And
do you think he's going to come back out and he's going to be like, hello, how are you? It's so
hello.
Nice to meet you, finally.
He'll be like handsome hello. Squidward. Be like,
yes, literally. Be like, hello, and how are you? Thank you so much for taking care of me for all these months. It's so nice to meet you. My name is, what's like an obnoxious, my name is Charles.
Murphy.
Yeah, right.
my name is Murphy. Please, Murphy. Murphy.
My first thought when we got to the end of the episode was like, oh no, what are all those kids who like love Murph because he's so cute? What are they
kids.
Gonna do?
What about the adults?
Kids.
Yeah.
Adults.
That's true too.
Yeah, it's a bold move.
It is.
We'll always remember Classic Murph.
Classic Murph.
We know
Classic
that
cute Murph.
he's or he we know that he's some kind of slime worm. I don't remember the world that he's
Yes.
from. So maybe they can get an idea of what they can
Initially.
expect.
Slimer first,
Yeah.
gigantic prehistoric dragonfly second.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds
Maybe
exciting.
Murph will eat the weapon thing.
That
And
would be
then
nice.
done.
He could. He certainly, based on what he's done in the past, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Maybe the he'll absorb it and then like become evil Murph.
Evil Murph.
Yeah,
Call me
like a
Murphy.
Dragon Ball Z situation.
How
Yeah.
dare you call me Murph? My name is Murphy.
Anything else you guys can think about to mention about All the World's a Stage? Do we drop the curtain?
I can't think of anything else. I think
No.
the story is over for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a good job.
Yeah.
I was thinking
We
about the
covered it.
I was thinking about
Take a
the
bow.
fact that it was we've got 20 episodes, and I think that the reason that we can get these standalones is that there's 20 episodes. So I don't want to
Yeah.
like give out any free advice, but why not do 20 episodes of Discovery? Maybe we could have like fun little one-offs. So,
He was
Yes.
listening. Yes.
and not have to worry about the 10C or whatever.
I mean, it would be nice, right? I feel like we would get to know the bridge crew better, which is honestly, it's one of my biggest complaints about the way that the story is written for Discovery. You know, I almost even feel like with Strange New Worlds, because it was different every week, I almost feel like we know that crew better in some ways. Believe it or not, even though it's just been one season.
Ella, as a Supernatural fan, are you watching the Winchesters?
Reaction! You were like, I'm sorry, no.
I should never have brought this up when that's airing.
Did I
I
touch a
don't
nerve?
think, is it airing now? Have they dropped episodes? Because I feel like I would have sensed a disturbance, like in the force.
It's airing. They just announced
Oh.
that it's not getting a late season pickup or a back nine, you know.
Oof.
But that's a couple shows are like that because they're saving money.
Here's the thing. I can't go back.
Okay. All right.
You know what's so funny is my dad, Scott Pearson, he asked me this, I think, last week, and I was like, I would go back and watch the first four, five, even perhaps pushing 6 to 8 seasons if I was having a good time of Supernatural. I don't think I'm ready personally to like unlock the door of like what, because I watched that show and I was like 14, 15, 16,
Yeah.
just feral,
Yeah.
just in the Minneapolis Convention Center,
Wait a minute.
just sobbing because Jared Padalecki talked to me, like uncontrollable.
Oh,
Like, I haven't felt those feelings since then. I hope on my wedding day I don't feel feelings like that. That was the
my.
craziest performance of my life. And it wasn't a performance, because I felt it. I don't need to unlock that door.
Sure.
I get
Also,
it.
it can't be good, right? I hate to say it.
Speaking of
It
unlocking
can't be
doors,
good.
the reason I asked is
Oh,
because I
sure.
was wondering. I guess I have my answer if there's a possibility of a pickup, but like I was wondering if they how many episodes they had, because I was going to comment about Discovery and like the streaming shows on Star Trek. You can't blame them for wanting to do 10 or whatever it is, because that's just like what TV is now, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
But
the
I
thing
wish
about
that they
Supernatural
would.
is that, not to interrupt, they did it like, it was like, they were like, what we're gonna do is we're gonna do essentially a Monster of the Week show, and we're gonna
Yeah.
make 24 episodes every season. You
Yeah,
know,
of
it was like
course.
they, for some reason, they were like, yeah, go ahead and just do that the way they used to. Why'd
Yeah.
they let them do that?
Well, because it started in like the mid-2000s or whatever it
Yeah,
was. So
but
that's
even
what
in the
TV was.
2000s, they
I mean,
let them.
we watched the first couple of seasons of it, and I really liked it, but it kind of, I don't know if we, I know we at least finished the third
We left when
season.
Kripke did.
Yeah, I can't
I'm looking
remember
for,
when that
I
was. That was
literally, end of
after
five.
five. Yeah.
I've
So.
been going through boxes that my mom dropped off at my house, And I literally today was sending pictures to my best friend who went with me to these supernatural conventions because I was like, it's the binder, you know, of like all the photo ops. And I was it's like three pictures of me with Misha Collins.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, hang on.
Oh. Wait a minute. He was attacked.
This is worth it.
Yeah, he was attacked when he was here. Did you
where
see
were you
him
when he
at
was attacked?
Convention?
I was. I tell you where I was. I was in the.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Is this a confession?
Yeah, I'll tell you where I was. Yeah, I was in an alley beating up Misha Collins.
Oh my god! No,
I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
One of the other actors had to come out and announce to us. They were like, "We have some bad news. Misha was attacked last night. The vibes in shambles." Anyways. I will put myself on blast. This picture, I think, is on Twitter and on Facebook, so I don't feel like I'm putting us on blast. But this is, look at me. Oh, look how happy I am.
That's
awesome. My best friend getting squeezed within an inch of her life. But that's me going to, obviously, she always sees, she's like, you look like you're going to prom, and I'm just, like, being squeezed. So I'm not kidding. I blacked out. During taking that picture, I have no memory, memory of being that close to them because the 15-year-old fangirl brain just cut out, couldn't even take it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is real.
Meanwhile, Mika has a picture of her with Gillian Anderson, and they're both kind of like this.
So
that's awesome. That's so much better.
While we were in line, so me and my. One of our best friends, like, we were in line and we had shirts that had like a cartoon version of Scully on them, and we were so psyched, and we were told you cannot touch Miss Anderson. Yes. we were like okay, so we're kind of somber with our arms behind our
backs. Instead they're all just like,
and then
I will say yeah.
And then, like, completely different vibes. We also, like, I think the year before got our pictures taken with Matt Smith and...
Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan, thank you. Wow.
You paid for the picture.
I know. And we're all arms around each other, look like one big happy friend group. It was great.
Yeah, you know, everybody's different. Jason Momoa is, like, taking you home with him, and he's like...
Yeah.
Slay.
Yeah.
You know, if I was that kind of person, if I was taking pictures of people, I would be in a space suit, especially now. Be like, I'd tell them it was my cosplay, and that way I wouldn't even have to smell them, touch them. You
oh
know,
my god! You could be
like,
I
you're
know.
In another world in a deep sea diving helmet.
I know.
I don't know.
I will say, right after we took that photo, and I'm with Jensen, my friend, at Jared, I turn because I'm like, I have to, Jared. And, like, physically, like, a volunteer or, like, security or something tried to get in between me and Jared Padalecki.
They've seen this before.
And literally, they saw the look in my eyes, and Jared was
go,
like,
go.
And Jared's, like, 6.5 feet tall, and he was just, like, leaned and gave me the biggest hug.
Oh.
Like, those guys... I
that
will
was
make
so
fun of myself.
Nice.
Those guys are the greatest. And I was, like, Jared Padalecki, when I got his autograph, held my hands like I was, like, a grieving widow. Like, I was crying. And he was like, are you having fun? And I was like, I'm having so much fun.
That's awesome. All right.
Oh, that's great.
So if anyone's at Twin Cities Con this week, I'm going to meet Elijah Wood. I'm going to be a lot more composed.
That's awesome.
I'm older. I've aged. I've got, you know, this haircut that I can't manage on Twitch, but it's fine.
I'm looking forward to hearing all about it, Ella. Yeah. So I hope you have an amazing time. Yeah.
It's going
to
be good.
Well, unless we want to move on to a different con or different guests, we should probably call it right there.
Are you sure we haven't talked about Supernatural enough?
We probably could talk about the Snoop Sisters spinoff or whatever it was. They tried to spin that thing off like 4 times.
Yeah.
I think you're talking about Wayward. Wayward Sisters.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh my god.
That's the spinoff that you're talking about?
Is that what the girls who are like
what was that called? Wayward? Yeah.
All right. Anyway, whatever. I'm sorry. Why didn't that work? Whatever. I don't want to talk about it. Let's just wrap it up for tonight. We can always pick this up on our next show. when we return next week. If you like what you hear on the show, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at EISTPOD to get updates and get notified when new episodes are coming out. Tweet to us on the show by using the hashtag Discoverage, or you can email us at EISTPOD@gmail.com. And on the internet, head to your listening platform of choice, subscribe to the show, give us a rating and a review if you would. It really does help us out. We will return with more Discoverage and more Supernatural talk, probably, on November 17th.
No, please God, no.
For the 14th.
We're done.
We'll be back for the 14th episode of the first season of Prodigy for an episode entitled Crossroads. Now that sounds like a Supernatural episode title.
It does.
We will see you.
I'm almost positive that is a Supernatural.
I would not be surprised.
We will see you when the gets T-boned by the semi right at the end of the first season.
And the demon at the crossroads.
Oh, yeah, God. That's what I was thinking of.
Anyway, we'll see you at those crossroads next Thursday. We'll be going live once again at 8 p.m. Central. Bone Thugs and Harmony. So join us then. You can follow us on Twitter or Facebook to get notified when we're live and broadcasting. But in the meantime, why not join us at our main show, Enterprising Individuals. Every Wednesday on the show, I and a special guest discuss in excruciating detail a selected movie from the Trek universe. We also have news from the Trek sphere, interviews with special guests, all kinds of things. Our most recent episode just dropped. On it, I'm joined by Alan Gratz, best-selling New York Times best-selling author, for the second half of our talk about Star Trek 2009. Find out how we really feel about this very successful, critically acclaimed movie. Oh yeah, gloves are off for this thing that everybody loves. Join us as we continue to cover every Star Trek film. We're now in the Kelvin films, and you can find out more at enterprisingindividuals.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Check that out. Ella, thanks as always for joining me to talk about tonight's episode of Lower Decks, of Prodigy.
It's all good.
When's the crossover? That's what I want to know. Remind people where they can find you online.
My personal is at Gondor Gold. I'll be, so if you're, you know, in Minneapolis and going to Twin Cities Con and you listen to this today, November 10th, or tomorrow, November 11th, November 12th, I'll be at Twin Cities Con. So you can say hi to me, but don't run up too fast because I get scared.
Right.
I'm very easily scared. So nobody make any sudden movements, but I would love to talk to you.
And Mika, thanks as always for joining me. What's coming up on the future of Just Enough Trope or Sailor New? I know. Let me just cut in,
because now
we can answer this as co-hosts.
Okay.
That we gave a review of the Star Wars show Andor.
Yes.
Of the first three episodes.
Yes. Correct.
Not a favorable review, and it turns out it's the world's favorite show. Yeah. And so, possibly in the future, will we be revisiting Andor as a mea culpa, or whatever the opposite of a mea culpa, a yua culpa. yua culpa.
Oh my goodness. yeah, I think that we almost kind of begrudgingly have to revisit it.
I think that we do. So... Now that Andy Serkis is on the show, and Andy Serkis is like, oh, I'm not Snoke. No, this is just my second role in Star Wars. And it's like,
we don't know, but it's
sure.
Like, okay.
All right.
No connection.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Where can people find you online?
You can find me at justenoughtrope.com and Sailor Noob on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
You can't talk on Twitter as you're...
No!
Still not unlocked. Still in Twitter jail. So we'll see.
I actually saw a message on my Twitter thing that said your account has been permanently suspended. And
talking loose.
Dude,
I did nothing
for you personally. That's a badge of honor.
She didn't do anything. And it's totally, now that like what's going on is going on. It's like if you were, actually no, they took everybody out of the Bastille. Let's say you were in the Bastille and then something else happened and then like the regime changed and everybody forgot about you. Like that's her account. It's in the bottom of the Bastille. She's never getting out of there. Until we pull the walls down.
Yeah.
I believe in you.
Well, it said that you can never make another account.
You can never another account.
On Twitter ever?
That's what it said.
On the website, everyone's leaving anyways. Everyone in the Star Trek fandom is like, and I'm leaving Twitter today. I'm going to Mastodon.
Well, anyway, we'll see you on Mastodon, I guess. But,
I guess.
For now, you can find me
Like,
at.
where we go? Who called the Uber? I don't know where we're going.
Yeah, right. You can find me at KA1IBAN on Twitter. You can find all the shows on the Just Enough Trope Network at Just Enough Trope on Twitter. And that is it for this week. Thanks for listening. We're signing off. This is Aaron for Ella and Mika saying live long and prosper.